Chapter 13. That flicker of sliding frost is back, creeping out beneath Conan's skin. She smiles, thin and threatening, and something like hatred curls in her stomach. Back? She asks softly. So that he can be killed for protecting himself? How noble of you. Narrow shoulders go tight as the boy stiffens. They will not kill Kiba, he says. Insists. But there's something desperate in his tone that wants to believe the words more than he actually does. Conan laughs, because how naive. Has he never suffered from the strangling grip of those in power, unwilling to change, to do anything that could possibly upset their seats? He killed an elder, she says, curls her fingers in. The papers stop swirling and go still, held perfectly frozen in place. And the Aburame stiffens faintly. Your village will cut his throat for that, no matter the reasons. I've seen it more times than you could possibly count. Not again, she doesn't say. But it's a thought that hovers all too close. Just like the weight of Yaiko's body and the sound of Nagato's screams. Blue chakra flickers in her peripheral, just enough of a giveaway. Conan sidesteps the Hyuga girl's first blow, shifts back and to the side and changes the flow, makes the girl follow her instead of just retreating. She's so obviously a Genin, so unpolished and so little of a threat that Conan is almost bored. A sweep of her foot knocks the girl off balance, makes her stumble, and Conan watches her stagger and turn around again, falling into a taijutsu stance beside her teammate. It's a shame to have to kill children. Conan never enjoys it. It will hardly stop her, though. They're shinobi, just as she is. The papers fold, the black lines of kanji on them coming clear. Meters away, the kunoichi shouts a warning, but Conan flicks her fingers, gives the explosive tags just one more spark of chakra. The boy lunges, knocking his teammate back, but it won't be enough to save them. Detonation. A rain of splinters hits the ground. Conan stills, eyes narrowing. She sweeps her gaze over the muddy earth as the smoke clears, watches the chips of wood fall, turns, already knowing what she'll see, and watches the Kapinin stagger as he comes to a halt, a long gash down his back bleeding even through his flak jacket. He drops the two genin, then trips, and it's only Yuhi catching him with an arm around his waist that keeps him on his feet. There's a low growl as Kiba lands next to her, watching the four Konoha shinobi with narrowed eyes. Missed, he says, with clear disgust. Conan casts a look at his knives. The white one is clean, but the black one is wet with blood, and her lips tip into a smile. Not entirely, she offers. Kiba scoffs disgustedly. Yeah, well, he'll sleep it off and wake up alive. I was going for something a little more permanent. It would be quite a blow for Konoha to lose one of its top jonin, Conan reflects. Even worse to lose him at the hands of a traitor they thought hadn't even made it to Chunin level. Satisfying would be the very least of her feelings on the matter. We still have time, she says mildly. The rain is getting heavier as her papers get thinner, which is a stroke of luck. There's the small matter of the other two genin, though, because they're dangerously close to the compound. She casts a glance back towards them, then raises a pointed brow at her partner. Kiba rolls his eyes. Hit them with a bomb full of plant concentrate. Causes hallucinations when it burns, he informs her, sounding like he's offended by her lack of faith in him. I guess Shino got out of the way, but Sakura and Sasuke must be having a fun time right now. Being devious shouldn't be cute, but Conan puts it down to the fact that he's barely 13 and looks like a shaggy puppy. She smiles a little and says lightly, I didn't realize you carried hallucinogens. Experimental. I like trying new things, he tells her, and his grin is all sharp canines and sharper humor. He glances back, looking towards where the two genin are likely still slumped and... Conan! Conan turns too, alarmed by the warning in his voice. For a second, there's nothing to see. But even as she opens her mouth to ask what he smells, a sharp, heavy creak sounds. The gate swings open, and a single horse and rider burst out of the estate in a billow of gray-green smoke. Poison, Conan knows. The clones must have already dropped the bombs, but... Kiba curses, and Conan catches it as well, a small blur of orange bounding at the horse's side, topped with a mop of blonde hair and running flat out as they head towards the town. Conan's willing to bet their entire paycheck for this mission that it's the Lord making his escape, and the Jinchuriki boy is helping him. Go, she says sharply, and Kiba doesn't hesitate. He leaps forward in a ground-eating run, trailing the horse and Jinchuriki to the curve of the road. Instead of keeping to the path, though, he leaps up into the trees, and Conan doesn't bother watching further. After all the time they've spent scouting, Kiba knows the woods. He'll cut off their target before the man even reaches the river. Which, of course, leaves her to keep the rest of the nobleman's guards thoroughly occupied. It won't be hard. The Hyuga girl is staring at the billows of smoke escaping the compound with horrified eyes, and the Aburame takes a step forward like he wants to dive in and help. Really, Conan isn't about to say anything to stop him from trying. It's an easy way to get rid of a potential threat. Did you really think we didn't have a plan beyond confronting you head-on? She asks, amused. And Yuhi is in the middle of trying to balance the Kapinin, herd her genin back, and watch Conan for attacks all at the same time. For the moment, at least, Conan doesn't have to worry about another genjutsu ensnaring her. Yuhi's mouth tightens into an angry slash, her gaze hardening. Carefully, she sets Hatake down on the ground, ignores the vague, uncoordinated attempt he makes to grab her and pull her back, and instead steps past him to face Conan squarely. Our mistake, she says evenly, bringing her hands up. Let me make up for that. I'm sure your bounty will more than compensate us for a failed mission. Conan smiles, opens her eyes. The paper in the air around them shivers, whirls, condenses, and sweeps down to spin around her, like a whirlwind. And she can hear the Hyuga's gasp when the burning compound comes clear, no longer obscured by her jutsu. I told you, didn't I? She murmurs, and opens her eyes, her face still turned toward the heavy clouds. It's raining. It's always raining. You're forgetting, she says, and lets her gaze slowly fall to the other woman. Just who here is the hunter, and who is the prey? A spark of chakra, a touch of will. The world goes white. Damn it! There's nothing else in Kiba's head as he hurls himself through the branches, letting memory guide him more than sight. Naruto is awake, must have realized the compound was burning, and decided to play hero. Kiba hadn't even thought about his absence in the fight, just assuming he was still unconscious from the poison and grateful not to have to face him again. But of course Naruto has to save the day, like he could do anything else. Gritting his teeth, he tries to think, tries to plan. The barriers he and Conan set to trap Naruto are all back on the battlefield, and he doesn't exactly carry barrier seals with him. He's got his knives and his poisons, but most of his bombs are used up, and there are only a couple of smoke pellets left. Not exactly good odds for taking on a Jinchuriki. Even worse for taking on Naruto, of all people. Something grim and almost sick twists his stomach as he thinks of killing the nobleman in front of Naruto. Thinks of showing Naruto beyond all reasonable doubt what he's turned himself into. But he has to. Has to. This mission needs to be a success. He can smell horse and human on the wind, clearer now as the road comes into view. Close, but Kiba can still beat them, and he launches himself out of the trees, lands lightly in the middle of the path, checks his pockets for a case of soldier pills he always carries. Habit now more than anything, because he no longer needs them to boost his and Akamaru's fighting style. And then almost fumbles the box when a trace of a new smell hits him. Familiar as home, warm fur and leaves and clean shampoo, traced with turned earth. Only Akamaru has ever smelled that way to Kiba's nose. Naruto and Akamaru. Fuck it all, but Kiba's luck is the actual worst. Gritting his teeth, he dumps 3 soldier pills into his hand and stows the case. Not something he's been using much, since the poisons are enough of an edge against most people. But he's heard one of Sasori's infrequent tirades about Jinchuriki immune systems and their ability to adapt to practically anything. And he doesn't have a single clue how to handle this if Naruto really is impervious to his poisons after one hit. More chakra can only help at this point. He'll never actually be able to rival a Jinchuriki, but for Shinobi, cheating might as well be fair. Hooves on packed earth, footsteps fast enough to match them, and Kiba tosses the pills back, closes his eyes against the shivering, icy burn of foreign chakra flooding his system. It's a rush, makes him shake himself hard even as he curls forward, fighting the world's biggest adrenaline rush. It takes practice to breathe through the feeling, to push it back until he's not just overwhelmed. But he's been using soldier pills since he first started training. The Inuzuka as a whole use more than the rest of the shinobi ranks combined. It's part of their technique, a way to be unpredictable. Kiba's going to need that right now. Kiba! An angry voice shouts, and Kiba rides the wave of chakra crashing through him, looks up and grins with all his teeth showing. Naruto! He returns and digs his sandals into the dirt, one hand raking up a fistful of mud. Naruto comes to a stop. The nobleman behind him doubled over on his horse and trying to stifle a cough. Kiba eyes the distance, looks at Naruto, feels something flicker in his chest, an emotion he can't put a name to and wants with everything to ignore. Doubt, maybe. Or shame. Things that can't have any sort of place here. Not now. Blue eyes stare at him, full of anger and hurt and something close to rage. Kiba, we don't have to fight, Naruto says. And it's a plea, but it's not. An offering. And tendrils of pain slide through Kiba's chest to anchor in his lungs. We're friends! Kiba breathes in. Doesn't let himself close his eyes. Thinks of the last time he and Naruto were together, on the hill behind the academy a few months before graduation. Naruto said every cloud looked like the Hokage's hat from different angles, and Kiba laughed at him for it, warm and lazy as they sprawled out on the grass. The memory is so close he can smell it, feel it, the tickle of the grass and the warmth of the sun and the way Akamaru barked and chased his tail, and then flopped down against Kiba's side to sleep. So different from now, standing across from Naruto in the cold rain, ready to hurt him and keep him safe. He's heard the odds, though. Jinchuriki don't survive having their bijou extracted. Pain has checked. It's never happened before, and as much as Kiba believes Naruto will always be able to beat the odds, this time he doesn't want Naruto to have to. If there's any way at all that Kiba can keep him from ever ending up in Akatsuki's hands, he'll take it without hesitation. After the first time Naruto took the graduation test and failed so miserably, Kiba was cruel to him. He was a fucking awful friend, and maybe he's being a worse one now, putting Naruto through this. But in some small way, it has to make up for how he acted. That's all Kiba can hope for. He doesn't let himself look at Akamaru, tucked into the front of Naruto's jumpsuit. Another friend he's hurt, even closer than Naruto, but he's trying to save them. That has to count for something. Try again. I wouldn't be friends with a monster. Kiba forces the words out of his mouth, makes them pass his lips, even though they leave him feeling numb. Like that time when he accidentally wiped his mouth when Genma was showing him how to mix poisons. And the numbness hurt. Something so wrong and awful he'd almost been sick. Naruto's mouth takes on a mulish slant, eyes hardening. You were, he says, as stubborn as a pig, and the urge to smile helplessly is so close to the surface Kiba almost can't resist. You were one of my only friends, Kiba. You were a fucking idiot. Kiba interrupts. Because if Naruto keeps going, he's going to break. He takes a breath, steals himself, says, sharp and angry as he can make it, I was a fucking idiot if I ever thought you were my friend. Our fight? It wasn't my fault! Naruto bursts out, loud and sudden, like he's been saving up the words. It wasn't my fault you lost! That was... You thought you could beat me! You thought I was weak, but I'm not! I'm gonna be Hokage someday, and it doesn't matter that I'm a Jinchuriki. All Kiba wants is to agree. Naruto beat him, and it was a ridiculous trick, but it worked. And that really is all that matters, but he can't. He can't. Baring his teeth, he growls, refuses to acknowledge the way Akamaru flinches and whines at the sound. Hate, he thinks. Hate, hate, hate. That's all I'm feeling. It might not matter to you, he spits, focuses his memories on the laughter and whispers that followed their match. Son of the Inuzuka clan head, defeated by the dead last in the academy, defeated by a fart not good enough to advance past the first round of fights. It irked him then. Now, he pulls up his rage, twists it around those memories, uses it the way Genma taught him, and snarls. Don't get used to winning against me, monster, he says sharply, venomously. It's never gonna happen again. The stubbornness gives way to something like anger, and Naruto opens his mouth. Kiba can't take any more, though. Can't stand here and look at Naruto with Akamaru in his jacket. He slams chakra down into his feet, leaps high and twists as he sails over Naruto's head. There's a shout, a puff of smoke behind him, but Kiba doesn't look back. The horse startles, shying hard to the left, and he misses his jump, lands and immediately lashes out with a kunai to pop the nearest clone, then lunges in the same movement. The lord shouts, trying to rein his mount in, trying to turn it towards the town, but Kiba is faster. He slices through the rein, the taut leather snapping easily, then grabs the man's leg as the horse wrenches around, all the man's strength suddenly pulling on one side of the bridle. With a cry, the man overbalances, and Kiba dumps him on the ground and ducks out of the way of the horse as it spins and bolts into the trees. No time to pause or even try an attack. Naruto grabs him by the collar of his cloak and hauls him sideways into a punch, and Kiba snarls, slamming forward with his elbow leading. He catches Naruto in the stomach, knocking him back, then grabs for his black-hilted knife and flips it up just as a clone grabs at him. It catches the construct in the throat, vanishing it with a sharp pop, and Kiba catches the knife and spins it, warding off a kunai aimed at his ribs. I, Naruto yells, right in his face as he barrels into Kiba, am not a monster! He's too close, too quick, sloppy at taijutsu, but still good enough to land glancing blows, especially when there are three of them. Kiba darts back, leaps up and over a kick, and flips in the air to land on one hand. Springboarding back to his feet gives him some distance, and he grabs for a smoke bomb and detonates it as soon as it leaves his hand, letting it wash over Naruto. Instead of diving back in, he darts around the edge of the cloud, flips his white-hilted knife out of its sheath, and throws it hard. A clone intercepts it, inches from the nobleman, and disappears into smoke as the knife clatters to the ground. Cursing, Kiba brings his hands up, automatically calling up the jutsu that's been drilled into him since the first time his chakra settled. A hard leap, carrying him right into the center of the smoke, and he slams into Naruto with a half-power fang-passing fang, feeling the other boy crying out, and a dog's yelp, high and pained and startled, and Kiba's heart fractures in his chest, an awful sideways wrench that leaves him breathless in the worst way. Akamaru, he thinks, dizzy with panic, recoils hard and slides to a stop as the smoke shreds around them. Naruto crashes to the ground, rolling, and only barely manages to stop before he crashes into a tree. With a pained sound, he pulls himself up onto his knees, one hand clutching at the front of his jacket. The small white shape there slides out, dropping to the ground, and Akamaru sways on his paws, staggers sideways, collapses without a sound. Nausea turns in Kiba's stomach, and he almost collapses too. Wants to throw himself to his knees and grab for Akamaru, scoop him up in his arms and apologize and say he didn't mean to do it, that he thought it was like fighting with another Inuzuka, like going against someone who could move in tandem with their Ninken, who knew to protect them. His fault. God's entirely his fault. How could he even... Akamaru is his partner. Akamaru! Not his cry. Naruto's. Naruto, who picks Akamaru up, cradling the puppy in his arms, looking horrified. Anger flashes over his face, and he rounds on Kiba. Kiba turns, forces his feet into motion, keeps going, because if Naruto sees his face right now, it's going to give everything away. He snatches up his poison knife as he passes, and the nobleman is recoiling, tripping over his robes. There's grief and rage on his face, and as Kiba leaps at him, he cries, "Why? You killed my family!" and attacked his own, hurt Akamaru like a damned traitor. And Kiba ignores the shout from behind him, the sound of more clones, catches paper and cold rain on the breeze as he brings his knife up and meets terrified brown eyes as he slams the man down into the mud. "Someone has to," he says, and drives the knife home. Above him, paper wings flare out, and Konan holds out a hand. Kiba puts chakra into his jump, leaps to catch her fingers and pull himself up, and Konan wraps her arms around his waist. Amber eyes drop, taking in the signs of the fight, and then slide over to fix squarely on Naruto. "Uzumaki Naruto," she says, mild and easy as if they're meeting each other on the road as acquaintances. "I believe we'll be seeing each other again soon." Naruto isn't looking at Konan, though. He's staring at Kiba like he's never seen him before, face pale. And Kiba remembers what he heard about Team 7's mission in Wave Country. Wonders if Naruto's seen someone he was charged to protect killed like that, right in front of him. "If they didn't come to us, it would just be someone else who got the job," he tells himself again. And it's still cold comfort. Looking at Naruto now, Kiba really does feel like the monster Sakura called him, and it curls hot and shameful through his veins. Maybe it's a sign of how terrible a person he is, but he can't even bring himself to truly regret it, especially not in light of Konan's thinly veiled threat. Akamaru isn't showing any sign of stirring in Naruto's grasp, but Kiba still makes himself lift a hand, offer Naruto a lazy salute and a grin full of teeth. "Guess this makes it one in my favor now," he taunts, then forces himself to look away like he's lost interest. "All set?" he asks Konan. Her smile is faintly smug and entirely satisfied. "They're tending to their wounded and trying to put out the fires. No survivors in the compound." "You killed my family!" the man spat at him. Kiba tries not to let it stick in his mind. "Awesome," he says, and Konan hums. Her wings sweep down, carry them up and over the forest, chased by Naruto's angry shout. No way for him to follow, though, and Kiba is sickly glad of it. He turns his face into the wind and the lash of the rain, takes a deep breath, promising himself that he won't fall apart. Konan carries them all the way to the border of Fire Country, within sight of Rice Paddy Country, before she carefully lets Kiba down. He lands and rolls forward, spending momentum, and then comes back to his feet as the wings whirl apart and fall away. "Mission accomplished," Konan says, folding her hands into her sleeves. She looks faintly worn, though Kiba isn't about to say as much. It takes a lot of effort to grin back, rocking onto his heels and stretching out his hands. "Hell yeah! And we got to kick the asses of two whole Konoha squads!" "Well, maybe not quite two whole," Konan murmurs, though her eyes are amused. "One and three quarters, I think." Kiba laughs like it's funny, even if there's a lump in his throat that aches like a fist. Close enough to count, he retorts. Conan concedes that with the tip of her head. She checks the pockets of her cloak for the ceiling scrolls with their gear, then glances up. We still have 2 weeks before we need to be back. How about we find an inn across the border and take an easy day? We can head back towards the mountain's graveyard the day after tomorrow. Kiba wants to crawl into bed, pull the blankets over him, and not come out for a year. Swallowing, he nods, lets a little of the fervency he feels slip out into his voice when he answers, "Thank fuck! Yes, please!" With a faint chuckle, Conan turns and starts walking. There's a guard post at one end of the bridge, marking the border, but it's abandoned and she simply strides past. Kiba trots a few steps to keep up and doesn't let himself think about anything but the possibility of a warm meal and a hot bath waiting for them up ahead. "You did well," Conan says quietly, before he can quite get lost in his thoughts. When Kiba flicks a glance at her, her eyes are still trained ahead, but there's a faint smile tipping one corner of her mouth. The wash of relief that floods through Kiba is something he doesn't even try to hide. Grins instead, wide and pleased, and looks away. "That mean we can do more missions?" he asks. Conan inclines her head. "I think your skills would help the others as well," she says, and Kiba shoots her a wary look, because that expression is mischief. "Really?" he says flatly. Conan just raises an unperturbed brow and keeps walking. For a moment, Kiba stares after her, wondering whether he should protest more. But Conan is Payne's right hand. Working with her means that if he slips up, it's the end of everything. The others? Well, worst case scenario, Kiba could kill one of them if they found out, and he'd hardly be the first Akatsuki member to get rid of another. Kakuzu went through 5 or 6 before he found Hidan. It'll make it easier to pass on messages, too. Conan cares what he does, where he goes. The others won't give a damn. Well, apparently this mission really was a success. He jogs to catch up with Conan and falls into step with her, crossing his arms behind his head. "If I get stuck with Hidan and Deidara, I want my own room," he informs her pointedly. Conan blinks, raising a questioning brow. Then it connects, and she snorts quietly, but inclines her head. "I'll tell Kakuzu to factor it into the budget." "You better," Kiba says, though the words don't have even a trace of bite to them. He wants to look back at the road behind them, but forces his eyes forward. Doesn't let himself waver. 1 foot in front of the other, 1 step at a time. 1 step forward, and that's enough to make everything worthwhile.